If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk Live. We are here to empower you. That's what we like to do. And magical engineer Frank and I have a great show. And thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Awesome. Frank is the most awesome engineer. Did I ever say that, Frank? I can't say it enough. Really, you are. All right. So today we are going to be talking about on the show some off-label drug use. Some people don't understand what that may mean or if they have an idea what it may mean, and some people think, well, you know, but I'm not going to be using that. You may be. You may not know you're using it is what the point. So we're going to talk about that, and we have a quack report. And before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I am lifting this nation up in prayer. I am hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face. Hope you are too. And today's devotional puts us in Jeremiah 17, where the Lord's saying he is our healing. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. So heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, make free the captives, Matthew 10. So all the whole multitude sought after the Lord Jesus, and he healed them. Yeah, praise the Lord. I'll take it. And mind the time, it grows short, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. I did not hear quackers, Frank. Frank sometimes forgets to pot up the quackers so I can hear them. All right. First up in the quack report, blueberries contain specific substances that they now say can prolong your life. So there's a compound in blueberries. They have this anti-aging effect, so they say it will add to your longevity. So they have the anti-thiamines in them, and depressive antioxidant is what it is. So it helps with the telomeres on your chromosomes. New study in 2010 in Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry said that if you eat blueberries on a regular basis, it can slow the development even of dementia and Alzheimer's. So blueberries. All right, moving along in the quack report. Here's, they say, 10 proven ways to boost IQ in adults. They say, first, you want to get regular exercise. And they say also you want to use some brain training exercises. It will increase your working memory capacity. And they say make sure you're under some constant learning, some education. You learn something new every day. Also, if you are in a mentally challenging career, it will automatically raise your IQ, they say. Meditation helps, as well as changing your diet. Brain foods, they say make sure you get the berries. We just talked about blueberries. Walnuts, avocados, dark chocolate, eggs, turmeric, spice, fish. A lot of omega-3 fatty acids will boost, all these foods help boost IQ by 14%. And also don't forget your fish oil, lots of fish oil if you're not getting olive oil and coconut oil, omega-3. So there you go. And last but not least in the quack report, here is a peer review study that came out of, where's this, Canada. They were looking at the chemistry differences, peer review study, mind you, on GMO corn and non-GMO corn. Apparently, you know, the GMO corn is supposed to be able to tolerate lots of Roundup spraying. Been on the market here since 2001. So they said that the scientific research was vague and superficial. What people were told about the GM foods. So this team of researchers, independent review. They wanted to find out, you know, what the differences were. So this peer review out of King's College, oh, this was in London, excuse me, and their report wound up in the Journal of Scientific Reports. They said that their research raised some serious questions about the effects of the GMO corn. They found clear, profound compositional differences in the GMO corn, saying that it wasn't anywhere near the equivalent of a non-GMO corn. So they said there was a total of 91 small molecule biochemical metabolites and 117 proteins that were found to be altered in the GMO corn. And they say these alterations are caused largely by an imbalance in energy utilization as well as oxidative stress that can damage cells. So this is probably why the rats, they fed those rats and they got all cancerous tumors. They said the non-GMO corn, though, is packed full of really good healthy nutrition. So you get manganese, zinc, copper, magnesium, calcium, and iron. And if it's grown in soil that, you know, has been allowed to rest, this corn is even healthier. So they don't like the alterated, genetically modified, CRISPRed corn. They say, you know, they were you stay away from it. Eat the ancient grains. So there you go. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay. We're going to be talking about the off-label drug use. I don't think we've touched on this much, Frank. I don't think we've touched on it at all lately. Now, the frequency of using prescription medications for treatments for unintended or unapproved conditions is on the rise. This is called your off-label drug use. The FDA is aware of off-label use of prescriptions and, of course, even your over-the-counter drugs, and that such use is growing. It's being used a lot. Now, it is currently considered a legal practice, and 1 in 5 outpatient prescriptions involve off-label use. And in some instances, off-label use is approved by the FDA after a study of trial studies are done to show that the use of this form of medication is warranted for that specific treatment. However, how safe is this off-label practice that physicians are embracing? You know, should this be an area of concern for patients and physicians and researchers? Well, is off-label research properly conducted, or is it faked? You know, let's take a look. Let's check this out and be aware of this off-label drug use and if it offers any health risks that we should be aware of. I want to read you this quote. This is by Dr. Caleb Alexander. He's with the Medical Ethics Advocacy. He's also a professor of medicine at the University of Chicago Medical Center. And he says, many people may be surprised to know that the FDA regulates drug approval, not drug prescribing. Doctors are free to practice a drug or prescribe a drug, for any reason they think it is medically appropriate, end of quote. So they can do it. They don't need permission. Also, WebMD on the topic said that doctors admit that although off-label use has its place in medical practice, however, it is on the rise, and it raises the risk of lawsuits if there are serious side effects, end of quote. Yeah, you gotta know the lawyers are going to jump on that off-label stuff, you know. All right, well, hey, here's a question. Hey, Frank, do you think patients are aware when they're being prescribed off-label drugs? Do you think, you know, for whatever it is, the condition they have, they're being treated for, do you think the average patient knows? Well, he's not sure. You're not sure? Oh, sure. Well, actually, regardless of the legalities of physicians being within their legal bounds to use drugs for off-label use, the question, do patients know they're being involved in such a treatment? Well, according to WebMD, most patients are unaware they are using off-label treatment drugs. They would, doctors don't have to tell them. You know, why would they not be informed of this? Well, physicians are really not ethically or legally required to tell their patients that's what they're doing. And, you know, they don't want to have to answer a bunch of questions. They don't want to scare the patient, so they just don't tell them. This is an example of off-label use. I want to give you one. The informed consent's off the table with off-label use. Let's just get real with that. So an example of off-label use is if you were like prescribed a drug, like the drug Nadinol to treat migraines, but you're actually taking a beta blocker medication the FDA did not approve yet for migraines. So you're taking a cardio drug for migraines. Now, patients who discover this is what's happening, they're taking an off-label drug, they kind of feel like they're being experimented on. Well, they are. Now, in addition to patients not being aware, some physicians can actually be ill-informed regarding a drug approval status. So according to this report in Pharmacoepidemiology and Drug Safety, a significant number of doctors assume a medicine is FDA approved for specific use when it's not. Most people are kind of shocked to learn that scientifically trained doctors could make such a deadly assumption. Yeah, because sometimes it doesn't work out real well. And sadly, this happens even when the drugs come with the FDA black box warning on there. It's like, you know, I'll just totally ignore that thing. It's basically what happens. Here is a quote from, again, Dr. Caleb Alexander. He says, this is not a trivial issue. Our findings suggest that some off-label prescribing might be driven by mistaken beliefs about FDA approval and the level of evidence that's supporting off-label use. Off-label use poses the greatest harm of side effects and increases the patient's risk of experiencing medication errors and dangerous outcomes, end of quote. Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't think your doctor's going to read that to you before he says, and by the way, you're taking an off-label drug. No, that wouldn't go well. Well, what kind of conditions do you suppose these doctors are prescribing off-label drugs for? Well, there's a brief list here. Cancer, neurological problems, cardiovascular problems, depression, insomnia, pain, osteoarthritis, attention deficit disorders and hyperactivity, obesity, dementia, and also psychiatric and pediatric conditions. So they're kind of experimenting there. Yeah. Real time. You know, you didn't sign up for the drug trial. Well, at least you don't know you did. Here is a quote from Dr. Joel Frater and Dr. Rebecca Dresser. They are with the medical ethics professors. They also did an editorial piece in the Journal of Law, Medicine, and Ethics in 2009, and they said this: off-label prescribing can expose patients to risky and ineffective treatments, end of quote. And then this I found in the Archives of Internal Medicine. They say some off-label therapies can be beneficial or even life-saving to some patients. However, in most cases, there is little to no scientific evidence to prove or support the use. So off-label drug use has been identified as problematic, they say, and in part because of inadequate data on drug safety and effectiveness. Okay. Well, let's look at some of these examples real quick. All right, so in 1997, there was this article in the medical journal informing physicians that two drugs, if you use them together, produce the significant and dramatic weight loss for the obese patients. And the drug was called Fen-Phen, okay? And it was an off-label use. It was two drugs they combined together, and it did help them drop weight, but it also produced a serious side effect of a deadly heart valve. It damaged their heart valve. So this was, a lot of expensive lawsuits finally provoked the FDA to ban the use after the damage was done. So, they experimented real time on people and they died from heart valve damage. All right, let's look at some conflicts of interest. Yeah, my favorite topic here. In August 2012, the Public Library of Science looked into the conflict of interest of off-label drug use and what it's creating. What kind of conflicts are happening here? So there were these allegations that the researchers and the doctors that were involved in testing drugs for off-label use, they were being paid directly by the drug companies to find off-label drug use for these products and develop marketing programs for the drug treatments, well, that didn't really meet the research standards. So journal articles that were promoting such new treatments highlighted the problem. Their investigation looked into improper disclosure, inadequate deficiencies in the research, and the lack of truth published in the journal articles. So although the physicians may be within their legal bounds to utilize off-drug treatments, it's another matter entirely for drug manufacturers to promote off-label drug use. It is also not approved by the FDA that the drug manufacturers are really prohibited from suggesting any such practice in the United States. So, you know, them hiring the doctors and the researchers outright to do this was a violation. Now, it is also required for the authors of the journal articles to disclose any conflict of interest with regards to their research. So the investigation found that only 1 in 7 authors did this. And out of 26 whistleblower complaints, 91 physicians and researchers were guilty of conflict of interest. And of these 91 professionals, 39 of them had already authored over 400 articles and publications on drugs for off-label use. And out of the 400 articles, only 62 of them had adequate disclosures, 148 had no disclosures at all, and 16 included misleading denial statements of any conflict of interest. So journal articles on drug research is also required to list the drug manufacturer on the medications being studied, and 40% of these articles didn't mention the drug maker. So we got lots of problems there. You know, they're not following policy. Not following ethics. Okay, so the Public Library of Science, when they were doing this research into the allegations, this is August 2012, this is what they said, quote, such failures in research regarding off-label marketing schemes are troubling since off-label clinical practice is more likely to be opinion without appropriate guidance from regulatory authorities. Therefore, high profile opinion leaders may exert considerable influence in prescription practices in these applications. And adequate disclosure of financial ties in scientific medical research would give readers an opportunity to weigh the potential for bias. We conclude that controlling the effects of conflicts of interest solely relying on author candidness and journal policies have fallen short of the mark. Therefore, readers are left with little choice but to be skeptical. End of quote. So, yeah. So, looks like the drug companies were hiring these high profile, highly respected physicians and researchers to do the off-label research and then write about it and highly influence other doctors reading the journal articles. And it was just basically opinion, not scientific facts. And that's a problem. So there's going to continue to be this battle for off-label use because there are experts on both sides on this debate. However, patient safety has to be the highest priority and concern. Unfortunately, accolades for the research, the money, and the drug sales seem to kind of cloud the issue of first do no harm. So also, off-label drug use pushers, it pushes the out-of-pocket cost for patients because some insurance companies aren't going to cover that drug therapy if it's off-label drug use. Now, Medicare recently relaxed their restrictions a little bit. They're paying for off-label drug use for cancer patient therapy only. All right, here is another quote from Dr. Caleb Alexander, medical ethics advocate. He says, how do we best regulate off-label drug use without unduly stifling clinical innovation? Some state we must emphasize evidence-based prescription with stricter rules on off-label use. Others state that tightening the reins could hinder access to new novel therapies. So it's kind of a quandary, they say, quandary. But then, you know, we got this other problem on top of all this, the big question mark of whether off-label use is scientifically supported or not. Is it kind of just an opinion and a crapshoot? Is it just a big experiment to see what happens? Well, then you got the adverse drug effects in the mix. A Canadian study published some research in November 2015 in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and what they found with the off-label drug use, it strongly increased the likelihood of adverse drug reactions. They also cited that off-label drug use that lacked strong scientific support produced more adverse effects. So the report also said that patients who were taking 8 or more prescription medications were 5 times more likely to have strong adverse reactions compared to patients only taking 1 or 2 medications. Now, here's a quote from Dr. Ikwe at McGill University, Montreal, Canada. He was involved in this research. He said, off-label drug use, and particularly off-label use without strong scientific evidence, is a risk factor for adverse drug reactions. Physicians should recognize the enormity of this problem and be cautious prescribing drugs for off-label use, end of quote. Yeah, they should take note of that. It's an enormous risk for patients. So you got to find this balance. That's what it is. Most health problems really are due to an imbalance, and unfortunately, prescription drugs often mask symptoms and compound the imbalance. So medicinal herbs, on the other hand, they provide nutrition to reestablish a balance and help resolve the condition. And some conditions respond faster than others. However, when you're achieving a balance, that is known as a cure. So there are medicinal herbs you can use for cardiovascular problems, depression, sleep problems, insomnia, osteoarthritis, obesity, cancer. I mean, God provided all these medicinal herbs for just about everything. So before you risk your health to drug side effects and adverse events and off-label drug therapy, you know, you might want to consider the power of God's herbs. Now, if you want to learn more, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you a free product catalog. Their number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. That number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Now, if you want to visit them online, do so at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, because you're taking the power back. You're reestablishing a balance. Chemistry-wise, that's what you're going to be doing. And you know, if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs. I was just talking to somebody today. They go, what's the big difference between your herbs and whatever else is out there? Well, first, till standard organic ingredients is required, highest standard in organic growing. So the herbs were planted in soil that wasn't treated for 5 years, was allowed to rest. There was no chemicals on it. There was no fertilizers on it. So this is your highest standard in Tilth Organics. Tilth Organics is really, it's a biblically based way for agricultural, harvesting. So it's God's way of producing a superior crop. So Tilth Organic, plus the folks at Apothecary Herbs use organic alcohol, the sugar cane, stay away from the wheat. And then they age everything and cold press it, which is unheard of because, nobody's doing that now. And it produces this strong professional strength formula. It doesn't have any heat in the process, so you get the full alkaloid strength, perfect chemistry balance that the plant, God made it. And so this is what's the game changer. You're getting a pristine formula, and it's strong. And it's not going to be found in stores. But you can order directly, just like the practitioners do, by giving the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call at 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. And we just heard from a gentleman today, Kevin Jetter in Weaverville, North Carolina. He says, I prefer herb supplements by Apothecary Herbs, not only for the quality, but also for the added benefit of the education they provide. That's right. You got to have good tools and information on use. Otherwise, it's like having a kite with no wind. Absolutely perfect. Got to have that. The information is important. Hey, we got to take a little break. On the other side, we got more information. Don't go anywhere.
life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson, well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Go green. Herb Talk Live Green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Talking about the organoids. We didn't get to that last time. People go, what the heck is an organoid? Well, there are these mini organisms that are grown in laboratories to represent a part of an organ, like your brain, intestines, prostate, kidney, thyroid, retina, liver. So researchers are designing and growing organs for, you know, medical research. And we're told that, you know, it's for the better understanding to help treat disease, things like, you know, finding cures for autism, schizophrenia, and whatever. Now, last August it was reported that Stanford University had the several balls of what appeared to be white, fleshy, floating, looking round spheres in little petri dishes. They were supposed to be mini brain. And there was a rumor that the scientists were working on building a small fetal brain. However, there are really no journal articles yet confirming it. So the goal of the organized scientists making organoids, you say that three times fast, Frank, organized scientists, organoids. Well, they're manufacturing organs. They want to be able to, you know, make human tissue in order to have, you know, an unlimited supply of transplantable organs. So the organized organoid tissue, as it were, they're being used to also test drugs rather than using animals in the lab. However, lab animals will not be abandoned entirely by science, as they are readily available. They don't require any kind of cultivation. And also the University of San Diego, California, is using organoid techniques with chimpanzee cells to grow chimp brains. Now, since 2013, science has used organoids to build lab-created kidneys and a pancreas and intestines. So they're working on, medical science is working on, I guess, you know, they'll build a whole human eventually out of organoid tissue, I'm sure. Here's a quote from Arnold Craigstein. He's a medical doctor. He's a biomedical researcher at University of California. He says, organoids are poised to make a major impact on the understanding of disease and also human development. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I don't see them abandoning the lab animals all too soon. There's a whole industry around lab animals. I mean, you know, people breed them. There's all the cages for them, the water bottles, the lab assistants to look after the animals. So, I mean, you know, it's a big industry. It's a billion-dollar industry. So I don't know how they're going to make that go away with organoids. But well, it's really not a surprise. Science is thinking it can improve on the human being. So according to research, the human body has a lot of different kinds of cells. For instance, your skin has cells that are different from your brain cell, but they do have similar DNA strands in them. Now, in 2012, researchers discovered a way to take any cell from the human body and convert that cell into what they want to build an organ out of. They kind of craft it. They switch on some cells on and off with a little gene editing, and voila. And they can make stem cells out of skin cells, in other words. So that way, when your cell begins to develop, it is essentially a stem cell to begin with, and then scientists influence the cell with a lot of chemical signals to guide it into a development stage for the organ they want to create. And so this research is really advancing from cell growth in a flat petri dish. And then they're also now growing three-dimensional shapes of cells, which means the cells can organize themselves through a chemical communication process. And so stem cells that start out flat in a petri dish soon formed into this round blob. That's why they look like a bunch of little human brains floating around in little dishes. So according to Martin Goath, he's a PhD neuroscientist and a chemist. He's with the Cognition Institute at Plymouth University in the UK. He says any technique that gives us something like a brain that we can modify, work on, and watch as it develops has to be exciting. But just how exciting is going to depend on the results it produces, end of quote. Oh, it's exciting. All right, so what's going to happen as their brain takes shape? Well, according to researchers Madeline Lancaster of the Medical Research Council Laboratory of Molecule Biology in Cambridge, England, all these little white fleshy balls, there's like 400 of them, floating in dishes in the lab are different parts of a brain. They call them mini brains, and the scientists will then eventually connect the different brain parts to each other, and then they can hopefully communicate. However, according to researcher Lancaster, the communication is not how a normal brain communicates. She She compared it to an analogy of an airplane put together improperly, and it's not able to fly. So scientists are going to build a full human brain eventually in the lab, and then it's just a matter of time, they're saying. So presently, the part of the brain that they are having most success growing right now is the largest part called the cerebral cortex. So in this area of the brain, we find the higher functions of thought. So typically there are, you know, four parts. There's four lobes to the cerebral cortex, the frontal lobe, the parietal lobe, the occipital lobe, the temporal lobe. So in these lobes, you get we house things like language, information processing, motor skills, vision, speech. In other words, the cerebral cortex allows humans to solve problems, have emotions, complete thought, have coordination, and varied movement, you know, involuntary and voluntary movement. Also, process information from your senses, from sight, sound, smells, and touch. And, you know, your speech articulation is all there. So currently, scientists have really not overcome the obstacle of taking the brain, little brain balls in the dishes, and taking them to the next level, because they had to have a blood supply for that. So they got to figure that out. And these cerebral organoid brains do grow into what science is going to call a primitive state. Yeah. So when scientists overcome the ethical problems of, you know, manufacturing this full human brain, they still need to find a way to implant memories, human consciousness. Aha. Yeah. They got to find a way to, you know, to be the creator, as it were. And I feel that latter part, you know, the consciousness part, that's only something God can do. Yeah. Without God's blessing, I don't know, this man-made brain, I'm just thinking it's going to be a disaster. Dr. Frankenstein, Frank says, yeah. Well, here's a quote from Arnold again, Biomedical Research, California. He said, no one would have thought 10 years ago we'd be able to do what we do now. Another 10 or 20 years down the road, I have no idea how far along we're going to be. End of quote. Well, if the robots don't take over, you know, hijack those humanoids, those organoid humanoid brains in the dish, you know. Well, let's look at some new drugs, because, you know, they're using organoids to test new drugs and how human tissue is going to react to these new medications. Now, in the Netherlands, in the United States, and the UK, they are testing some new cancer drugs on these organoid tissues. So organoids are speeding up drug research trials, bridging some sort of gap between, you know, testing drugs on animals and then testing on human trials. So they're hoping to kind of just skip that phase and go right to organoids, you know. So according to a journal that's in the Advanced Drug Delivery Review, organoids can help drug manufacturers make drugs to target specific organs, and they attempt to precisely measure how much toxicity that organ can take with the drug therapy, like your liver, your digestive tract, and so on, before it even is put into conventional human trials. So who knows? Organoids may make human trials pretty much irrelevant. However, some scientists think that the drug testing in vitro with organoids to create biomimicking aren't going to offer the same environments as the human condition does with accurately predicting the effects of the drugs. So they say they got to refine things. Especially if they're going to use it for transplantation, they want to make sure there's no rejection risk of rejection of the tissue. So in scientific research, the cost of actually testing all these new drugs is kind of expensive. So when you're using lab animals, they may require 50,000 mice just to test 1,000 different drug compounds. So if they use organoids, they can test 1,000 drug compounds and just use one mouse. See? So tissue organoid tissue for the mouse. Now, an area of technology that is also progressing quickly is with the development of, like I mentioned, robots. So revealing information that is coming from Japan, where they are making a lot of swift headway in the manufacturing of lifelike robots. So the robots have, of course, artificial skin that kind of feels real to the touch, has that 98.6 degrees temperature. Robots have this advanced facial expression, so they can blink their eyes and they can track eye movement. However, they are also adding voice technology, so they're talking too, which is really creepy. And it's really quite possible that science will one day outfit robots with organoid material cells, making them more human than ever before. So when the advances in technology kind of collide with organoid Frankenstein research, anything's possible. So be prepared. Just because it walks and talks like a human doesn't mean it is a human. And the thing is, will people be able to tell? You know, that's the scary thought right there. Here's a quote from a Norwegian peer review journal. They said there are suggestions that in the future, multiple organoids could be combined to create complex systems like a human in a dish, if you will. Quote, end of quote. A human in a dish. It's almost like, you know, it's the special of the day, right? Well, so what we have developing, just unfolding before our eyes, is this human biology revolution. Really, that's what we're seeing. A way to guard against needing any spare parts for yourself, you want to avoid original tissue damage. And the way to do that is to really limit the risk of on medications and really modify lifestyles so you're not eating foods that weaken the body and corrupt organs. So modern medicine would have us really to believe that replacement organs are a blessing. It's not a real big deal. It'll be, you know, the way of the future. Well, yeah, it could extend a person's life, and it does have a cost associated with it. You know, organ transplants are not cheap. But with regards to human beings, replacement parts are not the same as their original parts. Right? So it's kind of like some of the new modules on cars that are, you know, programmed to the card's VIN number. If you get aftermarket, it's not going to work as well. You're going to know it's not the same. So no doubt science is going to attempt to, you know, wipe clean the DNA gene slate and reprogram whatever organoid part they want to install it into humans. It's, you know, I look at it as a plug-in almost. So and I'm sure modern medicine is going to promote it as, you know, a huge benefit, avoiding organ rejection, not having to be on organ rejection transplant drugs for life. So they're going to promote it in a positive light, but it's still so anti-natural. Mm. Yeah, you got to ask, hey doc, organoid replacement part, does it come with a guarantee? Right? Is there a warranty with that? For instance, a natural heart can beat over 3.3 million times and help you live to your at least 80 years of age. Will the organoid heart offer such longevity, or will patients have to take out a rider policy? Or, you know, sort of like, you know, your tires have so many miles built into them, and then you got to get new. I'm just asking these questions. Well, I read these scientific reports, and I think science has, in a way, lost its mind. You know, I really do. They've got so far away from, I think, with all the fake reports and the conflict of interest and the research is not founded and supportive, and I find, you know, they're not in reality. When you look at it from that perspective, they're not in reality, and we're expected to just pop those pills and swallow them and say everything's fine. How far do we really want to take modern convenience and not have to care about what we eat? So, I mean, if we're bent on replacing rather than maintaining our natural equipment, I look at it as refusing godly knowledge, because God expects us to take care of the body he gives us. So I look at it as a type of rebellion. Never a good idea with regard to God's sovereignty. There is a part, I think it's Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, where we're told that the light of knowledge, you know, God shines his light of his knowledge on us. And knowledge, of course, you know, not everybody's going to have. He trusts it with some people, but not everybody. So our Creator has also provided us some herbs to help cleanse away impurities that would, you know, make our organs sick, and help strengthen our bodies, make them well. And, you know, longevity with our original equipment. I go that way. That's just the way I prefer to go. I know there's some people, I have family members that just love modern medicine. They love the attention they get from, you know, their doctors and nurse staff and stuff like that. They just live for that. And even though they're not doing as well as they did last year or the year before that, they just go that way. And it's all, I guess, on what you believe in, to be honest. Now, if you want to learn more about some natural therapy, like I said, the folks at Apothec Herbs will send you a free product catalog. And it's a learning curve. It's a learning process. But it's not rocket science. It's not going to overwhelm you. It's going to be natural. It's going to be a step into this powerful area of nourishing the body, and the body responding with positive results. And it's an encouragement, and it's a good feeling. It's the right way to go, in my opinion. God says, trust my herbs. They're here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. So he put these herbs here for a purpose. You have a purpose, a duty, really, to learn. And then whatever you learn, successes you have learned, you know, teach the next generation so they know. Now, the folks at Apothec Herbs are having their winter Be Well sale. Perfect time if you want to get some products for immune boosting, or if you want to do your cleansing before the holidays get here, if you want to stock up on the flea and tick collars for pets, you know, just, you know, it's 15% off orders of $50 or more, and that sale does run through the 4th of November, so you have until Sunday to take advantage of the sale. Details are on the homepage, but if you don't have internet, you just call and ask about the special, and you can order over the phone, or you could order through the mail and save 15%. So basically you're going to get a highly professional strength product and information on use and product support. So that's the other thing that the folks at Apothec Herbs strive at is, you know, you can go to the pharmacy and pick up your prescription, or you could go to the health food store and pick up a bottle of whatever as far as a supplement goes, and you're not going to get product support there. You're going to be left high and dry, you know, on, am I using this right? I'm following the directions on the product, but you have questions and concerns. Everybody does. So I think people need to be proactive. I think people need to be discerning. I think people need to ask questions. I know doctors don't like to answer a lot of questions, but, you know, hit them with the questions that matter. You know, if you were in my shoes, doctor, would you be using this drug, or would you be going for this surgery? See what they say. If doctors aren't having their kids vaccinated if doctors are having tattoos and medallions around their neck saying no code, why is that? Why is that when they're in the hospital, they don't want to be coded? Do you know what a code means, Frank? Do you know what I mean by that? They don't know code. I mean, there's doctors with, you know, necklaces on or tattoo on their chest that says no code. Some people don't. I worked at a hospital. I know what no code is. They don't want to be resuscitated. They don't want to be put on life support is what that means. They don't want to be hooked up to machines that are breathing for them. They don't want it. So, got to ask yourself why. Well, we got a few minutes, so don't forget to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Get their free product catalog. Number's 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the web address. And check them out online. You can see what they have there. Also, if you are into information that are healthy, wealthy, and wise, then do sign up for their newsletters. They have a couple there under Books and Newsletters tab. They're absolutely free. And you'll get health information each and every week. They have one that goes out on Tuesday called The American Survival. And you'll also get information on gold and silver market trends and stuff like that if you're interested in tangible asset investment. They do have the health section in that one. And then, of course, if you just want health benefits, therapies, then the Health Quest goes out on Friday. So that'll go out tomorrow. If you want to sign up for that, you can go to thepowerherbs.com, click on Books and Newsletters, and you can sign up for free. You do have to have email to get the newsletters. They are not hard copy mailed to you. Also under that tab is the Power Herbs book. It is an ebook. Again, it is a downloadable book, and it's $14.99, and it's 400 pages of empowering, life-altering information. So not a hard copy, but you can add it to your iPad, Kindle, desktop. So there's different formats you can select when you order it, and it's a game changer. It really is. All right. Got a few minutes here, and little trivia on some ancient therapies. If we go back to 1800 BC, what do you suppose they would find there? What are the ancients doing? What do our ancestors do with regard to health and well-being? Here's a quote from William Osler. He says, "The good physician treats the disease. A great physician treats the patient who has the disease." So if you want disease management, we got that all over the place. But if you want a real physician, he's saying he's going to treat the patient, not the disease. No disease management or manage disease is what MD means. So I know. All right, so we're out of time. I will be back next week, and I encourage you to visit thepowerherbs.com. Give them a call. Take advantage of the sale, 15% off on your orders of $50 or more through November 4th, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.